CrossPolitik Network. This is a podcast about storytelling, fatherhood, music, poetry, food, literature, the creative process, theology, and the perils of trying to live the good life. I am Jason Farley, author, teacher, pastor, and publisher at Jovial Press, and I want to read to you a wonderful poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins named Pied Beauty. Pied means multicolored, like a black and white magpie or something like that. This is Pied Beauty. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire coal chestnut falls, finches wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. All things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, adazzle, dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him. That was a beautiful poem about the way there are so many amazing and beautiful things throughout the world, and that there seems to be an endless supply of new beautiful things, strange things, surprising things, and that we can experience them in so many ways. They can be swift, slow, sweet, sour. There's so many things that we come across that dazzle us. And Gerard Manley Hopkins, he wants us to glorify God for all of them. He wants us to look up at the sky, to look down at the trout, to look at the birds, to look at the landscape, to look at the way that people do things, to look at the machines we build, to look at all of it and glorify God for the beauty and the extraordinary things that you find in the world. They take on a beauty because they were God's idea. They take his nature as a father. He fathers forth all sorts of beautiful things because his beauty is past change. Now, one of the central doctrines of the Christian faith is the need to be born again. That we have taken on a different father when we, as human beings, listened to the devil in the garden in the beginning. We gave up our first father and took the devil as our father. Jesus talks about this in Luke 8. When he tells the Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Right? We took on the devil as our father, and he's a liar and a murderer. He wanted to use lies in order to murder, but from the beginning, that's what he did, and we took him on as our father in the garden. That's why Cain immediately turns to murder. He refuses to be returned to the name of the Lord of life, and he instead takes the name of the devil, which is a murderer. And that's the first thing about having one particular father over another. We take on the name of our father. We take on the name that we are born under. And everyone has this. We're born with a father. We're also born with a king. We're born citizens, and we're born into families, and we get to bear that name. And Christian kids are born into a church, and they become representatives of their family, of their nation, of their God, simply by being born into those things. In the church, we're reborn into the church through baptism, but we take on these names. We become representatives of these names. And Adam and Eve, they were the first to carry the name of the Lord. They were the first to be fathered forth whose beauty by the one whose beauty is past change, as Hopkins says. They were to bear his name as vice regents. They're in his image. They're to act in his name. But instead, they gave up that name, and they took the name of the Lord in vain, as the third commandment tells us, right? This is what the third commandment is about. We're not supposed to take the name of the Lord in vain. We're supposed to carry the name of the Lord. We're supposed to have the name of the Lord on us, but without any hypocrisy at all. And God begins restoring people to his name, beginning to give them his name to carry again. We see that he does that in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 43:7, God's people are told that they bear the name of God with them wherever they go. And in the New Testament, at the end of the book of Matthew, we're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? We bear the name of God, but we're not supposed to bear that name in vain. We're baptized into our citizenship in the heavenly body. We're restored to the image of Christ so that we carry about us the name of the new man. We can properly take God's image and represent him to the world, to creation, to one another. And it's amazing what Gerard Manley Hopkins is getting at here is that God has fathered us forth. And because he is beautiful, we begin to father forth beautiful things. Right? When we were made in God's image, we were intended to guard and to garden. Guard the garden. We were intended to garden in the garden and make it a beautiful place. Now we turned to the devil and an ugliness begins to set in. But as we're restored to the image of God, we become fruitful again and begin really making the world a beautiful place again. And it begins by being able to recognize the world as a beautiful place. But we're restored to fruitfulness. And Paul tells us this regularly. He says, you've been restored to the image of God. Christ is the image of God, restoring you, putting away the old man, putting on the new man, right? We're becoming like Christ, who is the image of God. And in that, we're restored to a beautiful fruitfulness. It's really easy to think that the first fruitfulness that we're restored to is to look around and think economically. Okay, I better get to work. I gotta be fruitful in my work. And that is important. We do go around building and gardening and making the world into a beautiful place. But Paul actually begins in a different sort of place when he begins to talk about fruitfulness. In the book of Galatians, he's talking about how the law of God is fulfilled in one word. And this is Galatians 5, starting at verse 14. The law of God is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says this is the summary of what it looks like to fulfill the law. Love your neighbor. That's what the law is about. The law is a long description of love. That's why when God, who is love, becomes a man in Jesus Christ, being born of the Virgin Mary, that he is the Word, he is the law incarnate, because he is love. And that's what the summary of all of the law is about. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed by one another. Right? He says, if you turn away from the law of God, quit loving one another, and instead use one another, then what you're doing is biting and devouring one another, right? You're eating one another. He says, love one another. Don't eat one another. He says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh is that desire to use other people, to eat other people, to go around taking bites out of other people. And he says that's contrary to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not make us into people that eat one another. Instead, he says that the fruit, instead of doing that, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what do you do with fruit? Well, you eat it. Or in this case, you feed one another with it. He says, don't bite and devour one another. Don't eat one another. Instead, produce the fruit of the Spirit. By the power of the Spirit, produce the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll feed one another with these things, with love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. He says, none of these things are illegal. You can produce all the fruits of the Spirit. You're not breaking any laws. He says that is what it looks like. That's the beginning of being restored to being a child of God as our Father. We begin to be restored. We begin to carry the name of the Lord. And we produce the fruit of the Spirit, and so that we're not producing, we're not carrying the name of the Lord in vain, right? We're not being hypocrites. Even the pagans knew that hypocrisy saps your power. Seneca Minor tells us that it's hemlock that made Socrates great, right? It's the fact that Socrates was not a hypocrite that made his words stick. And we want to discourage all hypocrisy, and instead, we want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit so that we are like our Father, who is the Father of beauty that lasted from all eternity to now. And we begin producing the fruit in our lives and begin feeding one another on love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? Those are the things that really do begin a life of fruitfulness. That's where a life of fruitfulness starts, is with the fruit of the Spirit. And so look for ways to be loving, to be patient. Look for times that you need to confess that sin and say, you know what? I was impatient. That's a sin. I'm not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Will you forgive me? Look for ways to go after the heart of fruitfulness, which is fulfilling the law by loving your neighbor as yourself, by producing the fruit of Spirit in such a way that you feed those that are around you. Thanks so much for joining me for another issue of the Westminster Confession of Funk. You can check out my blog, which is on the Cross Politic blog network, which you can find at crosspolitic.com/Jason Farley. You can check out my books and my Amazon page. You can visit Jovial Press for more. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Westminster Confession of Funk. Keep it funky, people.